wonder if it's Lee. Hey, can I help you?
The name's Troublefield. Kyle Troublefield. I'm your neighbor.
Oh my god. Oh, wow. I thought Kyle Troublefield, I thought you lived in Cairo or Washington or Egypt or something like that.
Well, I did, but I was relocated through witness protection program. I kept getting my penis and my balls beat for my general science attitude.
Oh my god, that's horrible. Welcome to the Bronx, I guess. It's good to have you here. Hey, you don't listen to podcasts, do you?
No, I don't listen to that fake news. I only listen to the mainstream media for my information.
Oh, that's a good call, man. That's a good call. Definitely don't start listening to podcasts anytime soon. It's it's all fake. It's all fake and gay. So just stick with that. Don't listen to any podcasts. And I don't know. I got my buddy Lee coming over here soon, so I think I'm gonna have to let you go here.
Oh, that's fine. Well, if you guys ever want to hang out with old Kyle, let me.
Oh my god, that was a fucking close call. Hopefully Lee's here soon. Jesus, I don't even know where Aaron put the damn gun.
Can't stop the signal.
Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of The Signal. I have brought a close friend from the in-group in, Lee from NBlock Press, to help me kick this thing off. I feel like Lee and I, whenever we get together, it starts to trend heavily towards the self-improvement and the guns and the Bitcoin. So, Lee, thank you so much for coming on here, man.
Hey, what's up, man? Glad to kick it off.
So, before we get super into anything, and the intent of this episode is to be a little bit shoot from the hip and run and gun. But I was over at Jacob Tasting Anarchy's. His wife ran a Ukrainian Christmas. I guess it's Eastern Orthodox, so I guess their Christmas is later than regular Christmas. And I was asking everybody, do you think Trump is still alive? So I'm going to ask you that.
Man, that's. I will say, I mean, I don't. Dude, that video was weird, wasn't it? Right? Like I don't. I normally am not that guy that's like.
I know. I know. But dude, here's the thing. And before we get super dialed in here, I do want to say this show, the overarching theme of this show is going to be self-improvement. We're going to focus a lot on Bitcoin. We're going to focus a lot on open source software. We're going to focus a lot on firearms. And Lee is going to probably be a little bit of a mainstay on this show. But this is just too prescient. And the things that have been talked about in Gentleman's Chat have been, they need to come to the surface. And let's say it's January 9th. This stuff with Trump and with Twitter banning him and with some of the videos and the whole raid on the Capitol or whatever you want to call it is just too much to ignore. So why don't you, can you explain exactly what's going on with the video that Trump released? Or I guess, did he release it or I don't even know.
So someone uploaded to twitter.com. Yeah. I mean, that's right. That's okay. I like this disclaimer, you know, like we're gonna keep it simple here, guys. Guns, Bitcoin, presidential and holograms
also, and also here we go. So here's the problem. Here's like kind of the thing that I've been struggling with is that, like, it's, you run into this boy who cried wolf kind of thing where when you live at a volume 11, it's hard to take it anywhere else. And I feel like if I weren't at an 11 all the time, this would be time for volume 11. Is that
yeah, fair? Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Cause like I'm not a Q believer. I'm not like a huge conspiracy theory guy, that kind of thing.
Right.
But like the first time I saw that video, especially when it does that like cutaway, like the angled cutaway, yeah. About a minute into it, he looks very weird. Like it's very non, his mannerisms are not typical for Trump. and he just looks, you know, like I don't know, a so body for, double for, or something weird.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, this was the day of the Capitol, the DC Capitol riots, and or I think it was that day, right? And was it to Trump's personal account?
Yeah. It was like 12 hours after, because he got a 12-hour Twitter suspension,
right?
And then, you know, his 12 hours passed. Then basically, as soon as it was up, his account, it was from the at Real Donald Trump account,
yeah,
that he posted it,
which is his personal account,
right? Yeah. And it's his personal. It's not the POTUS account.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's his personal, you know, his alt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you can't be horny on Maine, you go to the
yeah, he should have padlocked. Yeah. but yeah, that's where he posted it. It was very very strange, and like a lot of people who saw it were like, huh, this is weird. Like, this is
a lot of people, not just people who would be predisposed to smell some trouble, like people. I've had a discussion with a couple of people who like are not, or who are normies essentially, and being like, man, that video looked weird,
right?
Like, yeah, it just looked,
yeah,
bizarre.
Yeah, yeah, as have I. It seems, and I wonder, like, part of me wonders if that's why, because that's gone now too. Like, everything is nuked. Like, that video, you know, you have to kind of dig a little bit to find it. So, like, you know, that's gone. And I wonder if they saw people reacting to it in a way that was, mm-hmm, you know, suspicious or kind of drawing attention to how weird it looked. And
basically what that video was Trump kind of like half-assing, not even an apology, I guess, but kind of like, it was, I think it, my understanding was that it was supposed to be like him calling off the dogs, but he was kind of like, reiterating the election was stolen. Right.
Yeah. 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 And it was kind of like a mince word, you know, kind of sentiment where, I don't know. I saw it and was like, oh man, he's kind of, like, betraying is too strong of a word, because you, I mean, you have to remember that this is all fake. Like, this is not, you know, an insurrection. Like, these people were unarmed. Like, mm-hmm, this is, you know, I mean, I know this will publish, you know, a few days from now. So, you know, maybe this will sound stupid, you know, but like, the media is really running with this, where it's like, well, this is a crazy insurrection and this big domestic terrorism thing. And, you know, it's like, dude, this is like boomers sitting in your chair. Like, no one here is armed.
No, right.
They're not here to like install a different, you know, a leader or create a dictatorship. Like, it's kind of just like an unruly tour group of boomers. Like, there's not a lot of insurrections that start with like tour buses. You know what I mean?
It's a really good way to put it, because when you look at any of the footage, it's like completely the opposite of any of like over the summer. And I'm not playing the political card here, because God knows I don't give a fuck about any of these people or the opposite, if you would say like Antifa. But like, any, like, if you were to roll footage from like Antifa protests and this, it's like,
yeah, it's
nice. Unfortunately, I wish they had been more violent.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, me too.
In Minecraft, but. It was like a group of tourists, and
this had a very, very like Margaritaville feel to it.
It did. That's exactly what it was. It was like, holy shit, we're on vacation. We're doing weird things that we don't typically do, but it's enjoyable. You know, like,
right,
like that's right. Like, everybody by and large had that like vibe about them. It was super bizarre. The whole thing is super bizarre. It's weird, because like you try to hold things up to the light and see kind of where the light shines through, and you put the puzzle pieces together, and I'm still kind of reeling. And I think in Gentleman's chat, we've been trying to like put together, like, what do we really think is happening here? And I'm not sure I'm convinced of anything, but I am convinced of, I'm not sure I'm convinced, but I think that the progressive left establishment is about to really try to kick us in the dick. I am pretty convinced of that.
Yeah, I think so, but I think that's you know, not the right call on their part. Not, and I'm not saying that because I don't want to get kicked in the dick.
No, just strategically speaking.
Yeah, right. I think that from a strategic standpoint, their only move that makes any sense is to just say, like, hey, you know, we said, you know, we were going to be the president for everybody, whether you voted for me or not. And, you know, we've got this whole shtick about this is a time for reconciliation. And so that's what we're going to do. Because the alternative is like, you know, a national manhunt for, like, I mean, I don't know how many people were there, but probably at least a few thousand people.
That seems to have kicked off, though.
I've seen that some of the people that were, like, for lack of a better term, like, iconic there, like the, you know, the,
like the Viking dude, the guy with the podium, like,
right,
the guys that they can easily identify. They seem to be going after them. What they're going to do with them, I have no idea.
Well, right, because, you know, most of these people, you know, because there were a lot more people there that actually, like, went into Congress. But,
yeah, I mean,
the vast majority of these people, you know, like we said, like, they're unarmed. They're not, you know, they didn't light anything on fire. They didn't know.
Boomers on a tourist vacation.
Right. You might get them for, like, a weird trespassing charge or, you know, or something like that. But the vast majority of these people, you know, didn't really, like it sounds serious to, like, normies. It's like, oh man, you know, and the media is having a field day about this is the temple of the people, like, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But if you look at it, like, you know, any real crime is pretty minimal. Like, in fairness, you know, there was that one cop that, you know, I guess got, like, crushed by a fucking fire extinguisher or something. You know, and there's that the girl who got shot, like, trying to jump through that window. You know, so that's obviously not good. But the vast majority of this, you know, was just, like, frustrated boomers who are convinced that, you know, Q is going to save them. And
it's almost remarkable how little human or property damage happened with 500,000 boomers, like, storming into the Capitol. it's kind of remarkable.
Yeah. Well, right.
If you told me 6 months ago that there was going to be a huge riot or quote unquote riot where 400,000, 500,000, whatever the number was, gathered in the Capitol to prevent Donald Trump from not being president anymore, and they actually broke into the Capitol building, and you told me that there were going to be two deaths total, I would have thought you were insane.
Well, right. Yeah, of course. And that's why it's not an insurrection. You know what I mean? Like everyone is saying that.
I wish it was.
Yeah, they should have done, you know, much more than what they did. Because it was kind of weird, too. I think that I don't think they, like, expected it to work.
Like, I think that's kind of where I land. And actually, when we were DMing, like, us, like, in the gentleman's chat and stuff like that, that was one of the first things I said. It was like, if they don't get concessions in some way or another, and I don't know exactly how you would do that or whatever, but if they don't get concessions, they're all going to be fucked. Like, if you're going to do something of that magnitude and not stand by it until you force your opponent to give you something,
yeah,
like, you're totally boned.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Right.
That's where they're at now. It's totally boned. I mean, their president is going to be ushered out. If Trump is still alive, he's going to be ushered out silently. I think you have no choice at this point if you're Trump's opponent.
Yeah, he already said he's not going to be at the inauguration.
Yeah. His account
for whatever reason, right?
Yeah. And now you're just fish in a barrel.
Yeah. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they just went in there and put, like, a whoopee cushion on Mitch McConnell's chair and left. Right. Like, they didn't accomplish anything.
No, they accomplished nothing. It's except endangering themselves.
And, significantly.
Significantly endangering themselves.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys were barefaced and, like, very...
Yeah, which was, I mean, just typical boomer con shit, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I wonder if that almost kind of, you know, plays to the idea that they didn't really plan that this was even going to get this far.
Right, which comes back to the question of, was this an op or was this... organic or what, you know, or and that those aren't absolute things. It can be on a continuum, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, the degree to which nobody gave a fuck about like OPSEC like makes me think.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Boomer, and the blue checks, the blue checks are already, you know, they're ready to send these people to like Siberia. Like the, these know. People, you know, it's like that you know, they're talking about, you know, for, you know, you can't work, you get rid of your, you know, college degrees and professional certificates. And
there's a there it was on the news this morning that or maybe yesterday morning, it was the morning after the riot, so I guess maybe 2 days ago, there was a lawyer, like a pretty well, not like super high up lawyer, but like I think he was an associate at his firm in Grapevine or Southlake near me, was fired on the spot.
Sure.
Just completely fired because they saw his face at these rallies, and he wasn't even doing anything particularly disruptive. I mean, he may have been in the Capitol or something like that, but it wasn't like he was on there like breaking windows. He was just there,
right?
Which is, you know, pretty crazy, particularly for a Texas law firm. I mean, it's like we're not exactly a liberal state.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Texas is becoming increasingly liberal, I suppose, but. You know, I think a lot of this is the response has been predictable, but still alarming. Like, I don't know if you saw that Shopify basically, you know, kicked off any store that sells Trump themed like apparel. I mean, it's talking about like souvenir stuff, T-shirts, stickers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty insane. Like this, you know, late in the game, but this guy is still the president.
He is the president of the United States right now.
Yeah.
He is theoretically the leader of the free world, has been kicked off of all of social media platforms and is arguably not alive.
He may or may not just, you know, be a concession making hologram at this point.
Dude, but. I'm telling you, man. They, because like we were talking about, you can't have this guy walking around after Biden is president. If he is going to continue to have these ideas and express them. Yeah, and that's why I'm like, I wonder, either he has to not be alive or he has to not be talking. And I don't think that Trump can be alive and talking and not talking.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think that his personality exists where he can be alive and just sulking.
No, no, certainly not.
I don't think that that's his deal.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a New Yorker. He's not. It's not possible for there to be like a, you know, a silence.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's just a tremendously weird time. And probably by the time this episode publishes, there's going to be some new information. But at least now it does feel like we're in a little bit of a twilight zone, like where I just don't like who is the president right now.
And where is he? Like, you know, it's very, very weird. Like, there's going to be a weird hang time between, you know, us recording this and this releasing. Mm-hmm. Because there's like, I don't know, it feels weird out in the day-to-day. It's like, we don't really know what the fuck's going on right now.
Right.
You know? Like, hopefully things will be, you know, peaceful or, you know, something to that effect.
But I think that is the uncertainty and the strangeness and the just outright anti-human behavior from all of these entities leads me and us to, you know, the seed, the reason for this show. And that is that I would like to, for myself and for anybody who's listening and for anybody that is in group and out group, to begin to bring more power into the individual and start to secede in a way from this madness, because it is that it is madness. It is absolute madness. It doesn't serve you. And there is no reason in 2021 for you to have to be relying on these people, because frankly, the technology exists to push the power down to the individual, or at least the community, to the point where we don't need to be outside of just the fascination of seeing what we only read about in history books up until now play out in front of our eyes. There is no reason to be obsessing over this. And, you know, Lee, you and your involvement with the 3D printing community, and particularly with 3D printing firearms, and then our mutual interest of Bitcoin and seceding from the banking system and holding wealth and being able to transfer that wealth anywhere in the world instantly, permissionlessly, those in tandem with a bunch of other new burgeoning technologies, I believe are going to usher in this renaissance for human beings to really empower the individual. So Lee, why don't you give us a little rundown? You have your website Nblock Press, and you've been pretty heavily involved with the 3D printing community, and just doing absolutely remarkable things. So why don't you give us a quick rundown of what's going on over there, and then we can spitball off of that.
Sure. Well, I think you're probably right on the money, especially looking at what 2021 is shaping up to be so far, is that there's just really no reason to be playing the game with these people, because it's clear left or right, they really don't have your best interest at heart as like an individual human being.
Not only that, not only do they not have your own best interest at heart, but if you were thinking about participating politically, obviously that doesn't matter anymore, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Very
little.
Obviously, that just doesn't matter. If there was ever any question before, now it should be empirically clear, at least on the federal level, it does not matter. They will just do whatever the hell they want regardless. So
right.
If you're thinking about participating in politics on a federal level, like, I think you're wasting your time.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you entirely, because we've seen that, even with a guy like Trump, who is, quote unquote, an outsider, that he's not really able to move the needle either. Just, objectively, like what changed,
Right.
Other than people hating each other more.
And not only that, but like, with his election, I have no idea if he legitimately lost or not, but the degree of fraud that was involved and the degree of questioning that was involved is at least that moves the needle. I mean, right. Like,
yeah. I think that, there's enough inconsistencies and just things that make you go,
Yeah. So apply that if you were going to be trying to get any sort of libertarian involved, like think about the inconsistencies you'd be up against then. I mean, it'd be insane.
Yeah. It's a losing game. I mean, it's
a complete losing game.
Right. So I think what we will see, the scary thing about this, this quote unquote, unarmed walking paste insurrection, is that the ghost tour of the Capitol.
The ghost tour of the Capitol. That's good.
I think that what we're going to see coming into the next few years is going to be a very big assault, much broader in scope, much more pervasive than what we already have as far as the Patriot Act goes. I think that anything, even, one hair to the right of center is going to be viewed as potential domestic terrorism or white supremacy or, any of those things, which, it's not. Like, I don't, in the same way that wasn't like an actual insurrection in the Capitol, I don't think that was like, a white supremacist event or, anything like that. I think it was silly and misguided. But I do think that, you're not going to be able to post and like you and I are kind of already, the people listening to this already know this. It's like, yeah, you're really not going to be able to get away with like using, your real name or, sharing your thoughts about politics on social media and be able to like keep your job. Which is insane, because it's like most people, within the sound of my voice, it's like, well, yeah, I just want, everything to be voluntary, and I want people to not fuck with each other and not steal from each other. And somehow that's like a radical, you know, extremist position, where it's like, just leave me the fuck alone and I won't bother you. And apparently that's, you know, asking too much, and it deserves, you know, investigation from like the FBI. Yeah. You know, so I think that for your average person who's maybe a Republican, or maybe like a, you know, normie libertarian, you know, they might initially not know kind of like what the fuck to do, in, you know, the next year, 2, 3, 4 years, you know, and maybe beyond, because it's going to be unlike anything that we've seen before. I agree
with that, and I'm going to butt in here and again bring up the idea of, unfortunately, I've lived my life at volume 11, so I don't know where to take it, but I do think, and you know, and this is something, and I was just over at Jacob's, and this is something that we joke about a lot, is like, in 2008 or 2009 we were like, oh yeah, this is the end, like that there's, we're not gonna be able to recover from this, this is the collapse of, you know, the United States, the dollar, et cetera. But I really do think that this is like the domestic 9/11 has happened.
I think that's a good way to put it, because you like, think about 9/11, you had 3,000 people die, and you got the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
And in 2021, you're going to have 4 or 5 people die at a protest, and you're going to get something that's like 50 times worse than the Patriot Act.
Yeah. Yeah. And to anybody who's skeptical, there's already, I think, bills in Congress.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. I was reading one this morning, about, you know, quote, you know, combating domestic terrorism and online extremism, and, you know, and all these things. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, that those are inherently innocent activities. I'm just saying that, you know, they're going to be falsely scrutinized and falsely categorized, you know, by the government. Like, that's
right.
It's just that simple.
I mean, you could make a corollary to like red flag laws. In the abstract, if somebody is suffering from a mental illness or something like that, and has has firearms, I'm not saying anything about their rights here. I'm just saying pragmatically, like, overall, it's like, yes, we, you know, you would want to like make that situation not as hazardous. But of course that's going to be abused, and probably the original directive of what was used to pass the bill is probably going to be completely ignored. No cop really gives a fuck about somebody with mental illness and a firearm. They give a fuck about their political enemies.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, people are going to have to learn to kind of work around some of the, you know, the hazards, particularly, you know, like personal security, information security, you know, there's a lot of stuff that a lot of people do on a day-to-day basis, whether you use like, you know, cloud file sharing, you know, if you're using like Google Drive, Gmail, iCloud, any of those things. I mean, a lot of these, you know, these platforms scan, you know, the files that you upload.
Yep.
Right now, a lot of it is for like CSAM, like child pornography and stuff. You know, which is fine. Like, no one, you know, really objects to that, but it will change. It'll start being used to look for, you know, things that are related to guns or Bitcoin or, you know, free speech, anything like that. Like, they've managed to turn the concept of free speech kind of into a dirty word. Like there's a very negative connotation for a lot of people when you hear like, hey, this is a free speech app. Like, a lot of people immediately just go, okay, well, that's like, why would you want that? Like, do you have something really, really weird to say? You know, and I think it's just going to get worse on the Facebook side, the Instagram side, Twitter side is obviously getting much worse right now. I mean, like, yeah, what happened at the Capitol? I mean, I can see how normies would have a negative reaction to that. But, you know, suspending the account of like the president of the United States, across like everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, you know, the actual POTUS account now is like throttled. So you know, it's all weird. People are going to have to kind of get back to basics as far as their information security. They're going to have to learn how to work around legacy financial systems, like the KYC AML side of things. Like if you're, you know, trying to do even things aren't necessarily political. Like a lot of people run side hustles on, you know, Cash App or PayPal, where you might be doing something like hairdressing or running a lawn service. And, you know, maybe you're not quite up to date on what you're paying on your taxes or how you're filing things. I think there's going to be a lot more scrutiny into how money changes hands. And I think hopefully that will push, you know, things like Bitcoin a little bit more into the public eye so that it's not viewed so much as like a fringe thing. I think, you know, I'm kind of optimistic on that, especially because you've seen institutional investors enter, you know, into speculation with Bitcoin. So it's not just weird guys on the internet. You know, you've got life insurance companies buying big blocks of Bitcoin,
which is big. I mean, that's really big. But at the same time, so I, you know, and I'm the biggest Bitcoin believer you're going to find. Anybody who's been listening to Timeline Earth or anything like that for any amount of time knows that. But in the intermediate, in the midterm, you know, I think that there are going to be all sorts of attempts at subversion, and there are going to be attempts by the state to, you know, honeypots and stuff like that, that, you know, everybody needs to be aware of, you know, there will be attacks and,
Cause it's, know,
and I think that there's going to be, I think there will be a time where using Bitcoin in turn, like, you know, Bitcoin will be synonymous, just like every, you know, any other vaguely conservative or right wing thing is literally synonymous with being a Nazi. I think that will come to Bitcoin. And so, you know, you should be prepared to be called a Nazi if you are openly interested in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a media campaign.
Yeah. I mean, I think the term, you know, like Bitcoin Nazi.
Bitcoin Nazi. Yeah. I need to get that domain name. If it's not already taken, maybe it was taken in 2009. Maybe it was a Nazi thing all along.
That's right. Yeah, Satoshi, it's actually Hitler in Argentina.
Yes, in Argentina. The IP address goes to Argentina. God damn it.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, so for the listeners, you can learn more at bitcoin1488.com.
Shit. But I do think I think that the media is going to drum it up, and man, they will have you thinking that if you own any Bitcoin, you have literally like spent your life killing grandmothers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're gonna, because they do that. They tie it all into, you know, the big nebulous blob. Like one thing that is, I don't know, is interesting to me is that like words. The key phrases, like the key terms that you see the media using, mm-hmm. seem to be very imprecise. Like language has become less precise and more about, you know, conveying like just a gist. So you'll see,
like, you know, idea.
Yeah, something will say like, oh, well, these people are, you know, quote, anti-science. Right. It's like, okay. but like that tells you everything you need to know.
All embraced is just science is fake and gay, right. And we are absolutely anti-science.
Well, right, firmly anti-science, you
firmly
know, but
anti-science.
but they already kind of have that looped in where it's like you know, like if you're a like, let's say you wake up in the morning and you watch, you know, Morning Joe or, you know, whatever, whatever's out there, Anderson Cooper or some shit, like, you know, let me ask you this, like in your mind, if someone says to you, you know, the Morning Joe Observer, hey, this person's anti-science, like, does this person own guns? Is this person a racist? Yeah, probably yes and yes, right? Like a lot of this stuff about like, hey, you're anti-science. Okay, well, you know, you're probably that's kind of a slang for like, well, they probably don't have a college degree, probably working class, probably gun owner. We're going to call them a racist. We're going to call them, if you're anti-science, you don't believe in, a lot of transgender issues, things of that nature.
This has baffled me because that's the majority of America.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Now, but it's the least capitalized portion of America, the least powerful portion of America. But this has been the thing that's been kind of confounding me, is like, and to some degree, the capital, the great tourist, what do we call it?
The ghost tour.
kind of validated one portion of this, but it's like, I just don't understand how, like, I understand that propaganda can, I understand the power of propaganda, but man, there is just such a gigantic portion of America that is not down with that. And it's just, I guess I don't know how it continues to persist in the way that it does, but you got to figure at some point it can't. I don't know. I don't know.
But it's because there's like a false sense of security on the, mostly on the right, where people say, well, hey, this is America. You know, this can't happen here.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, listen to what these city slickers are saying about, maybe your 5-year-old is transgender or, whatever. Maybe, you're trying to kill grandma because, you went to the store and bought groceries without a hazmat suit on. Or maybe you're a Nazi because you don't want to try like the first ever mRNA vaccine that's been approved on an emergency basis for public use. So like, I think it's a false sense of security, and I think that's going to shake up real quick. Like, I think when, these people that were at the Capitol start looking at like Guantanamo Bay level charges, people are kind of hopefully going to snap the fuck out of it and realize that like, you should hate these people. These are not people that view you as, a
countryman.
Yeah. Right. Like there is no fraternity with these people.
Yeah. And that's been, I think we've probably talked about this on TLE or our previous show, probably a couple times, but like, since all of COVID and the restrictions and stuff like that, I was continually dismayed at the lack of pushback. But I still do, despite the fact that there was an alarming lack of pushback there, I still do think that there is pushback. The thing is that you need a galvanizing leader. And I think in some ways, the fact that Trump is recusing himself or has been recused of life via
that person cannot be a populist hologram.
Yeah. It could leave room for someone else and someone else who's unencumbered. But, it doesn't take that much to kind of get people to, if there is someone out in front, if they perceive that there's someone out in front that's going to take the heat first before they do, it doesn't take a whole lot to get people to kind of start stepping out of line. And I think that that's got to happen at some point. And I think that and disregard the monetary implications of this, but the profit, and I'm speaking in Misesian terms here, of like the there is a growing and growing demand for someone to do this. Yeah. And at some point the demand for someone to step out of line and lead is going to be so high that it's going to entice someone to do it.
Yeah. Right. I think that makes sense. I mean, that seems like the logical you know, conclusion to the story, because there's, you know, Trump wasn't the guy. Like, he has some rhetoric to that effect, but just in practicality, last 4 years, he hasn't been the guy.
Right.
You know, and it's bad enough that, like, you know, really a lot of the people that, you know, are willing to take action on his behalf, a lot of the people at this, you know, DC ghost tour, really have, you know, like some deeply held beliefs in information that is probably of like no actual value.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the whole Q thing right. is very weird. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. I mean, as a guy who respects extremist beliefs, it still seems weird to me.
Extremist belief respecter.
right. It still seems, you know, like you. Well, it's. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like the COVID thing. Like we've talked about it. How people have upended their entire lives over very low quality information.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
And it's kind of the same thing with Q, where it's like, look, you know, okay, like I don't care that people believe in it. Like that's, you know, whatever, like believe whatever you want to believe. But like, imagine what these people could have done with like the right quarterback.
Right. Yeah. That well said. I mean, perfectly said. Perfectly said. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if there was like a Tom Brady of throwing pipe bombs, it'd be over in fucking 10 minutes.
The Tom Brady of fertilizer. We really could have done something. Oh man, I'm envisioning that commercial coming on at like in a 7 a.m. That's gonna be my execution.
Yep,
but my shepherd's crook off the stage.
Yeah. By the time we're done, they're gonna rename Gitmo the NFL Hall of Fame.
Dude, I want that on my headstone. The Tom Brady fertilizer.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But you're right, man. I mean, not to diminish the point with humor, but that you're right. Like, with the right quarterback, because it was literally a mobile. I mean, you know, we always joke about like Reddit being like weaponized autism. Like, that, it was very much a very similar vibe to that, except it was like boomers, which is like. Almost like poetically, like, and it's just amazing. Like weaponized autistic boomers is like the ideal army.
Just weaponized me.
just watch them go. I mean, just look at them.
Well, yeah, because like it's like, who are you there to talk to? Like, you have no. There's not even a manifesto. Like,
no. What are you doing?
No, it's just. Like, how do you get on a fucking charter bus without a manifesto?
I don't know. Right? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a whole thing, man. I mean, it's just a wild, wild chapter in American history that a bunch of boomers in 2021 got on tour buses for no real reason that they understood and walked through the Capitol, and some of them then got arrested by the FBI. Yeah. What a wild chapter of American history. Well, it's not even going to make it into the history books. No.
And in true boomer fashion, it's going to fucking ruin life for like the generation younger than them.
Yes, exactly. Just pile it onto the generations down as they've done for their entire existence.
Yeah, having destroyed the U.S. dollar, they've moved on to civil liberties.
Dude, she's literally destroying people.
Just a swarm of red-hatted locusts.
Christ almighty, man. I mean, I swear, what a phenomenal generation. What a powerful generation, the boomer generation. Just blindly walking through life, just setting off landmines for everyone around them, never really understanding it. It's truly,
truly oh man, it's very true. It's you know, it's going to be terrible. Like, I don't... you know, say what you will, but I don't want to see, like, you know, 52-year-old dudes with, like, high blood pressure going to fucking, like, maximum security federal
prison. For literally no real crime. I mean,
yeah, right.
Like, I mean, my general idea of a crime is, if somebody committed it, would I then trust them to come over and have dinner with me, or like to take care of my kid for a day or something like that? It's like,
sure.
If somebody smokes pot, like, no, like, that doesn't diminish my trust of them. If somebody takes a tour, an unguided tour of the Capitol, that doesn't diminish my trust of them. If somebody robs a bank or like holds a knife to somebody's throat, like, yes, that diminishes my trust. Like, dude, like, a bunch of like fucking slack jawed boomers walking through the Capitol taking pictures is not my definition of a crime.
Well, right. It's I don't know. I mean, it's going to be very dark, because people are going to have to unlearn, I think, a lot of like convenience things they're used to as far as technological tools. Like, you think about like apps and smartphones, all that kind of thing. Like, you know, we're both old enough that we, you know, grew up on like, you know, dial up internet and like, yeah, you know, shit like that. So we're used to like having to figure out your own stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of young people legitimately like are worse at tech stuff, you know, than you know, people 10 years, 15 years older than they are. And I think they're going to have to like wean themselves off of everything being app based.
Yeah, that's super interesting. That's super interesting. That is a weird. That's a weird thing. Like, I can't even comprehend being born. Like, if you were born in the year 2000, you're not, you know, you're going to be turning 21 this year. You know, for all intents and purposes, that's a fully formed adult. You know, I might be drinking with them at a bar, you know, and they, in their, you know, what, the iPhone came out in 2007. Like, they probably don't remember life without smartphones, which is, right, is absolutely right, crazy. And, you know, inherent in your, you know, and I guess somebody, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years younger than me could be like, well, you grew up with the internet and people can spy on the internet, and you, that's no substitute for talking face to face, you know, in a park or something like that. You know, it's not as secure. I mean, it's the same kind of corollary, I guess. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, especially, but like, to that point, like, you use a VPN for everything, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, me too. But like, you know, kids, you know, and boomers, like, we're kind of in that weird generation where like, we saw these things like come from nothing and then very quickly like evolve. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so like the younger generation, the people that are 20, 21, 22, you know, they've never not had it. And yep, the older generation were late adopters, and they didn't adopt it until it was pretty much a mature product.
Yeah.
So the idea, like, a lot of these people don't consider these things like, oh, hey, like, you know, if your phone was at the Capitol, like, you're pretty much fucked, man.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah,
you know, there's just no way around that. Like they don't understand how, you know, data collection works. Like, look, dude, if your cell phone, you know, was pinging whatever cell tower or Stingray was, you know, closest to the Capitol.
If you haven't been actively somewhat paranoid about the government through the last 15 years, as technology's increased and each new bit of technology comes out, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, what does this empower them to do? And what does this empower me to do?
Yeah.
You're not fully under, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're in for, you know, a very alarming awakening, because these things have traditionally been used, to either surveil, you know, international terror threats, mm-hmm, or domestic, like civil unrest, you know, or like low hanging fruit. You know, I mean, people get arrested, they get pulled over, you know, whatever. Cops ask, hey, let me see your phone. You know, you do something silly, like give a cop like your, you know, your insurance card, and it's like on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, and they take it back to their car, and, you know, now everything that's on your phone is subject to search. Like, you know, a lot of people, especially boomers, who are, you know, now going to be the, you know, the subject of a very large dragnet, you know.
The subject of a very large, equally silly dragnet.
Yes.
The right. Silliest dragnet of all time. Just dredging out boomers. Dredging out cranky boomers, yeah, who have no right. idea they did anything wrong.
Yeah. 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 Right. Exactly. I mean, these guys are going to be sleeping through the fucking HRT yeah. breach team because they're on their MyPillow fucking yeah. neck adjuster. Yeah. I didn't hear you come in. I took my Unisom and I was sleeping like an angel. What can I do for you? You know?
Jesus Christ, man. No, it's very real. Very real. Dude, I was at home. I was back at home like not too long ago. And my dad's old for my age. My dad's gonna be 80 this year, I think.
Okay.
And or 79 or 80 this year. And my dad was telling me about his laptop that he bought, you know, I don't know, 45 years ago. And he was telling me that he might need a new laptop because there was a lot of ads popping up all the time. And I just very calmly was like, oh, interesting. What a browser are you using?
Oh, God.
He just told me Internet Explorer. Oh, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, you probably need a new laptop.
Yeah, like, great.
I didn't care to engage. I was just sounds like a new laptop.
It is time for a new one. Yeah, right. Yeah, because it was, but you know, precisely, because you can't say like, well, you know, that's been deprecated for yeah. like 10 years or however long.
Yeah, I mean, really nobody used it in the beginning.
Right. Right. You know.
Because it was just a gigantic virus that you have on your computer.
Yeah, right. I mean, I can't even, I shudder to even think about the scams that are going to be running on old people. Like, it's going to be, you're going to see me getting pop-ups. It's like, you know, put your social security number in here to see if the FBI is looking for you.
To see if the FBI is coming after you for the ghost door check.
Right. Yeah, we're going to be getting calls from guys in our family like, I put my social into this thing. It said it was the FBI. Like, what do I do? Yeah, fuck. Yeah.
It's no joke, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that, you know, kind of, you know, on a serious note, I do think that, like, you know, low tech will probably make a comeback. Like, I think that free open source software, people getting realizing that like a platform is just a choke point. Like you're just supplier dependent each step of the way. Like when you build an app, like Parler, just got suspended. You know, they're gone.
Which was pretty crazy, right? I mean,
yeah, and that was like
not crazy. Like if you know or believe what we do, but pretty crazy, right? I mean,
yeah, Parler's weird. Like I'm not on Parler, and their terms of use are actually not as favorable as Twitter. Like you have to use, like, you have to submit like a state ID to be able to use
is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And you have to submit an ID to be able to use their direct messaging, I think.
Okay.
You know, and like it's either direct messaging or to get verified, but it's not as strenuous as a process as Twitter. It's like you have to be like verified to use a key feature. It's like maybe you can only DM if you're verified or something to that effect.
You can only send dick pics if you're verified.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
So I would obviously need to get verified pretty quick.
Yeah,
it's limiting for my online presence.
Yeah, if you know what's good for you. Yeah.
Just get verified, folks.
Right, you know. So but like these terms are not actually favorable at all for privacy. And, you know, I thought about making just like a blank account to get like the InBlock Press name so that nobody else took it. You know, it asked me for my phone number. I'm not going to do that. But I tried to use a Google Voice number and it still wouldn't take that. And Twitter will let you use a Google Voice number.
Yeah.
So like they have, you know, a stricter verification than Twitter does. Because I mean, I get locked out of my Twitter account probably twice a month, but I've always been able to use Google Voice to get back on it. So, like Parler getting suspended, like there's a lot of, you know, pretty sensitive data that goes into maintaining a Parler account, as I understand it. Some of these like semantic details I might be wrong on because I don't use it, but from reading it initially when it came out and then what I've seen people saying about it, you probably don't want to be on Parler if you had anything to do with what went on at the Capitol. But it goes to the point that
the Go Store,
that the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, like these are the gatekeepers to people's phones. Like most web traffic is mobile at this point, like, more than 50%, so these things, like, most of Twitter's traffic is mobile, of course, same thing for Parler. So, apps tend to run better than, just like a web app or like a regular website, on a smart device, but they collect all your information. Like these things collect where you are, like a lot of them, especially if you're on Android, which tends to have like looser, not necessarily, but tends to have looser security protocols than iPhones do. They're collecting your contacts, your contact list, that kind of thing. I mean, they're seeing everything that's going on in your entire device, which you don't deal with when you just you don't always deal with when you go to like a web address versus like an app. So I think that, maybe people are going to start to realize like, hey, maybe this, everything is an app is kind of a weakness because it's a giant trust hole. Like there's, no reason to trust it at this point. And you can be gone just like that. They snap their fingers, boom, you're done. That's it. The app goes away. Can't be downloaded again. That's, pretty bad stuff, especially because you have a third party telling you what your moderation policies have to be. Like you have Google, who builds like an information suppressing internet for China, telling you that like you're going to have to suppress what these people are doing, or else, we're going to pull you from our platform.
So bizarre, man. So bizarre. What are, I don't want to open up another can of worms, but what... I can't get China out of my head in terms of particularly with the COVID lockdowns, but just in general. And we were talking about on TLE the other day about, how you're 2 degrees seemingly from a Chinese asset in some regard, at any given time. They just seem to be fucking everywhere. What are your general thoughts on that?
Yeah. China is playing to win against the rest of the world. The United States is two parties playing to win against 50% of the country.
Yeah.
So we're fighting ourselves. China, says, look, we're going for broke here. Now, it's not like China has a sparkling civil rights situation going on. Neither do we, to be blunt. We're not quite to the point China as far as having like forced labor camps, that type of thing, but China is at least overtly making a concerted effort to improve their station as it relates to other countries in the world.
If you
remove the ethics of like enslaving your population and things like that, they're playing to win the game. They're not just playing to keep playing the game, which is different from what we're doing. And I also think that both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and honestly Donald Trump, are all outgunned by the statesmen that, places like China and Russia are producing.
I agree. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I read a really interesting article the other day. Talking about, I might do a whole solo episode on it. Actually, it was super interesting about some of the effects that are naturally incurred when you become the global reserve currency of the world, and the difficulties that it puts you in long term in terms of essentially being incentivized to run a trade deficit with everyone.
Yeah, like right.
Wants to have a trade surplus with you so that they have your dollar so that they can buy, in our instance, energy.
Right.
and it naturally creates a system where you basically sacrifice, you know, you sacrifice your own industrial base for that.
Right, right. And you know, the more debt that you owe, like as your dollar becomes less valuable over time, older debts become, you know, more inexpensive comparatively.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I've actually been trying to kind of cobble together some thoughts on that and exactly how it relates to our relationship with China. But yeah, super interesting. The more that you get into that, the more you realize, or at least the realization that I've come to, right or wrong, is that a lot of this stuff has just been coming for a long time. And the whatever individual politicians that are inhabiting this sphere at this time are so irrelevant to just the forces that have been, you know, the Rube Goldberg that was set forth a long time ago.
Right. Yeah. As soon as that little dodo bird started sipping water,
fall, and then that helium balloon was going to inflate.
it just started the clock.
That was going to open the gates to a bunch of boomers onto the ghost door. That was the final Rube Goldberg thing, was opening the gate and all the boomers going to the ghost door. Oh, that would be such an incredible machine. Oh shit, man. But so, you know, when we're talking about all this, I think it reiterates the importance of bringing power back down to the individual. And, you know, that's something that I'm sure if anyone's listening that's been listening to Timeline Earth, Friends Against Government, we've had Leon a bunch of times talking about 3D printed guns. And we've talked about things like Bitcoin and things, you know, even so small as gardening and stuff like that. So Lee, you've got N-Block Press and you're associated with Deterrence Suspense, right?
No, I mean, I'm not a Deterrence Suspense member, but you know, I mean, I follow those guys pretty close. I keep an eye on a lot of what goes on with like 3D printing guns, in general, the, you know, legalities, things of that nature, any type of current events involving guns, politics, 3D printing. Sure. Kind of my deal.
And that is such a huge step in my opinion. I'm not the biggest, you know, don't follow me for gun information. I follow everybody else. But the ability within the last few years of really efficiently 3D printing the legal components and more, but more importantly for the American listeners, the legal component, the receiver of a gun, with a $200 3D printer, is truly remarkable. And that is, you know, the foundation of, well, it's, you know, it's the thing that defends everything else, right? Your ability to access firearms. And this is something that I've come to appreciate even more, recently. It's not just subverting, and subverting is probably an overly dramatic term, particularly now because this is entirely legal, but creating a side stream to legal ways of obtaining firearms, but in situations like this, where in the last 9 months we've seen firearms become very, very difficult to obtain. Quality firearms difficult to obtain, and any firearms becoming expensive to obtain. The 3D printing presents an opportunity to create something in your own home at will for a very, very reasonable price, and that is beyond powerful.
I mean it's.
Go.
You know, it kind of equalizes things to an extent. It starts to level the playing field, you know, in the same way that Bitcoin kind of lets you operate outside of legacy financial systems. 3D printed guns with the, you know, where they're at this point. I mean, it's a very good time to be in 3D printed guns. You're making a viable product. It's a high quality product. It's safe to shoot. It's fun to build. It's an enjoyable hobby. It's an enjoyable exercise politically. But it's probably, like if you think about the US dollar, you know, it's not backed by gold, but it is backed by force, right? Like the government will kill you over that.
Yeah.
So, the ability to manufacture, you know, your own firearms, is a disproportionate way to increase your political power as a, you know, just regular old civilian. Yeah. No politicians ever say, you know, hey, we got to be careful. We need to be careful what we do here because, you know, these guys have a lot of Bitcoin or these guys have a lot of free speech. Right. But if it says, well, you know, these guys have a lot of guns, it kind of changes the conversation there. You know, and I don't mean that in like a morbid way or like an edgy kind of way. I just mean objectively, throughout history, power has not wanted people to have access to firearms or to have access to weapons that were equal to that of the state, right. even before firearms. I mean, if you go back and look at like the crossbow is a good example. I mean, they didn't want people to have crossbows because it allowed peasants to kill knights. You know, I mean, this has been going on forever. So you should look with skepticism at people that take the position that, you know, the everyday person doesn't need the ability to protect themselves, and can't be trusted with any way of defending their household.
Yeah. And to piggyback on that, this is not just, that my biggest interest in firearms and for everybody having as many firearms as they possibly can and looking like a complete psychopath is because I want the bark to be loud so that there doesn't have to be a bite.
Right.
I am a big Bitcoiner, and I think that over time that is going to drastically diminish the power of the state, but they are going to probably try to lash out, and people being heavily armed will at least make them think twice about doing something rash. And the more people, particularly in America, like, because that's where I live, the more people that are heavily armed in America, the safer we're going to be. I firmly believe that. And that is, I think that is a necessary,
it's a responsibility.
It's a responsibility. It is. And if Bitcoin's the shot, firearms are the chaser. You got to have both or else it's nothing. Get firearms, and get the ability to make them in your own home. I mean, I think that those are two really, really important parts to this.
Right. Agree. 100%.
So I think we dedicated a lot of the episode to talking about the ghost tours and talking about Trump and probably a small minority about talking about actual self-improvement. Right. But nonetheless, those things are top of the bill right now, unfortunately, because, you know, frankly, they're happening. And like I said, it's like watching things that you read about in history books play out in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And it's just bizarre and weird and interesting and fascinating. And gets me excited probably in some fucked up ways, but nonetheless, it is what it is. Do we have anything else we want to cover, Lee?
No, I'm thinking about covers it, you know, just this is a simple man, guns, Bitcoin, and, you know, presidential holograms. Just
we're simple men here. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap up the first episode of The Signal. Lee, thank you so much for joining me on this one.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
Better to kick off this series than you. So I'm glad you could join me, and sorry for delaying. I was coming from Jacob, so I delayed it for a little bit. But thanks again, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Well, until next month,
Let's get it.